Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. God bless you with an enthusiasm for the purpose you were created to fulfill and a fresh sense of knowing how important it is. How important it is. I don't know if you know this or not, but the word enthusiasm, the root of that enthusiasm is Greek, and it's in God, in Theo. In God. So unless you're in God, you don't have any enthusiasm. You're just working yourself to death. You are. And so I'm just praising God for the enthusiasm that only comes from Him and Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And a fresh sense of knowing how important it is. I remember the night before our wedding, Darren came with this beautiful box and he gave it to me. He was such a giver. And inside the box was a wonderful body powder and lotion and that fragrance, knowing. He said, I know you're the one. And a fresh sense of knowing how important it is. Praise the Lord. Oh, Monday Bible slogan. Let's do it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. Acts 17:28. A lot of you put that scripture on your checks when you send them to Call to Freedom. We had a great meeting Saturday, just a wonderful meeting. And I have to thank you. It's such a blessing to know that I have such dear friends that want to come, that they're bringing side dishes with them. Our kitchen, my island in my kitchen just fills up with dishes, and they're giving and giving, and we had a great meal. But more than that, they are enjoying the fellowship of being with the Lord in our midst. And Charlene gave such a powerful testimony about physical healing, and we were in awe of God's move on her life and how He is getting her back to where she was and past that. She's going to be better than she ever was before. That was a wonderful meeting. I went into my closet to get some supplies because we use folding chairs in my living room for the group. And there they were, stacked perfectly in order. I mean, perfectly. I never have to clean up. I have people at the sink washing dishes. I have people taking the chairs to the closet. I have people undoing the tables, the folding tables. I mean, they are wonderful. You are a wonderful group of friends. And I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The next meeting will be May 11th. So put that, circle that around your calendar. Take your calendar and go to May and circle that 11th of May. I think I've got it wrong in my newsletter I'm going to send out. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. Kirsten has folded it. And so if I have, you know it's the second Saturday of every month. As you have probably seen in the news, Iran, with financial support from Russia and China, tried to lob over 300-plus attack drones and ballistic missiles on Israel this weekend. And I am praying for Israel every day now since October 7th, 2023. It's been a constant on my heart. And I know that they are crediting the idea of having a great defense. And they do. They have that iron dome that protects them. They see that they have a strategic command post that knows when those missiles are coming to Israel. But more than that, friends, it wasn't the Iron Dome that only. It wasn't. We've got to give glory to God. It wasn't that alone. It was God. Israel is His favorite. of all the nations in the whole world, Israel is the apple of his eye. And as I awoke Sunday morning, I had the most delightful open vision of being over Jerusalem. Yes, I've never been to Jerusalem, but there was that dome. I was over Jerusalem, seeing Michael and all the host of heaven standing guard and deflecting those drones. I mean, with their hands, just deflecting one drone after another, right back to Iran. It was such a blessing for me to see that. I got up in my bed and I was just deflecting with my hands as well. I was just helping him out. No, I could never help them out. He makes the winds his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. Those are angels in Psalm 104. And in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. And I have heard a lot of teaching on angels. And there are a lot of teachers that want to send you their CD series. I'll tell you, Darren and I did an angel series, Angels All Around Us, many years ago. I believe it's the most thorough and it's the most, it's the greatest. I really believe that. It has more scripture than I've heard from any other ministry. And if you would like that angel series, it's four CDs, angels in the Old Testament and then angels in the New Testament. They're all around us, folks. If you'd like that four CD, you can just send at least $10 for that four CD series, $10 to Call to Freedom, Box 370367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. And I'd be happy to send that to you. You can also order it online at freedomstreet.org and go to the resource page. But I believe, yes, the Iron Dome was a blessing, but I believe it was God and his angels. Hallelujah. I've got a story. We are in Joshua. And in Joshua 10, I've got a story to tell you here from God defeating Israel's enemies. It's just a wonderful story. And I'm going to start at the sixth verse, Joshua 10, verse 6. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. They were almost parallel in Israel, these towns, these areas that they were living in. And these were part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they said, "Don't abandon your servants now," they pleaded. "Come at once, save us, help us, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us." So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors. Now, we know that he let 20,000 go home when he was fighting the Midianites, and he only had 300 left. That was Gideon. Excuse me. I have my army sergeants, army generals wrong. So Joshua had probably close to 50,000, maybe even 100,000 men with him, including his best warriors. Boy, excuse me, I just had my Gideon, Joshua all confused. They left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. "And do not be afraid of them," the Lord said to Joshua. How many times do you hear that in the Old Testament and in the New? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, said Jesus to his disciples. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. Now, the distance between Gilgal and Gibeon is about 20 miles. So Joshua, in a remarkable feat, accomplished this journey in a single night, responding to the urgent plea of the men of Gibeon who faced the threat from the kings of the Amorites. So they were marching. They didn't have vehicles then, folks. They were marching. They were marching and probably running a lot of the way. And the Lord, this is verse 10 of Joshua 10. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. So we may say, "Oh, that was great. That was wonderful." Yeah, I agree. The doctors are wonderful. The strategic arms commands are wonderful. The armies are wonderful. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. But it is God, folks. We've got to give him all the glory here. All the glory. for what he is accomplishing through his people, of course, but what he is accomplishing. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that he will pour out more supernatural events and miracles in these last days than we can even imagine. Are you watching? Are you careful to watch for what's going on in the spirit? I hope you are. I hope you're keeping your spiritual eyes on what's happening. Our verse of scripture to remember this week is Psalm 121, and we're at verse 5 and 6 this week. We've memorized 1 through 4. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And you have different translations, but it all comes out the same. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Okay, so this is the two verses for this week. The Lord himself watches over you, my friends, in radio, and the Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And in the Message translation, this is a real different take on Psalm 121, 5 and 6. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shield you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from being moonstroke. Now, we know the word moonstruck. That means somebody who's in love and he's just crazy. But moonstroke, and that's a real unusual word, S-T-R-O-K-E, along with moon. It's a morbid state of fear of ominous darkness. So you never have to be afraid when you're in the dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Darkness you never have to be afraid of. So that's a wonderful, kind of a different take, but it's wonderful verse of scripture that we're going to learn this week. Psalm 121, verse 5 and 6. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I declare by faith that I'm more deeply in love with Jesus Christ today than at any previous moment in my life. My affection for him is so deep that I will never turn back to the life from which I've been delivered. I have no relational obligations greater than the sense of obligation that I feel for my Lord Jesus. He saved me, redeemed me, delivered me, and changed me. And I vow to serve him for the rest of my life. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. What a beautiful affirmation. 2 Timothy 1, 12 through 14 says, "For this reason," and this is Paul speaking to writing to Timothy, "for this reason I also suffer in this dungeon. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So, friends, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." You have a treasure inside of you, and you need to let it out. Break that alabaster box and let it out to others around you. The Passion in 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. For I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I have placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing." Oh, how beautiful. And what a privilege to serve him all the days of my life, all the days of your life. Just think of it. I would have never dreamed of bringing you these wonderful words of life every day on the radio when I was in the beet fields hoeing weeds and turning hay bales for my dad on the farm. I never would have thought of it. God has that infinite way of completing his mission in each and every one of our lives. If you will simply let him, let it go, give it up. Let him do his work in you. It's taken me a lot of years to get rid of all the lusts of the flesh and that so easily turn my head to the worldly pleasures. But praise the Lord. He is faithful and true, and I am free. Praise God. I am free. Say with me, I am free. I am free. Oh, I realize that many more of you listen to Call to Freedom than receive the Freedom Street Express newsletter. In the April and May newsletters, I submitted a story that Darren had written on a yellow pad 20 years ago. And I believe that it applies to so many of you listening today. I'm going to read about this pertinent event because it does apply still today in our manipulative and controlling and deceptive world. And here's Darren's story, a true story of a man whom he met. And I will have the other half of the story in my May Express that I send out in these next couple weeks. A bully, Darren? Did you say there's a bully in my house? Just so you know for certain what I said, let me make myself clear. So I ask you again, is there a bully in your house? Now I make certain what we're both talking about. Let's take a closer look together. Most of the time, people are shocked at the idea that there's a bully in their house. The bully is given center stage to manipulate and demand its way at the total expense of the keeper of the house and the next of kin who are still alive fighting for their existence in this smothering atmosphere. When we take a closer look, we see a, quote, special family member who demands unique privileges because of a supposed allergy condition, real or imaginary, or a personality trait, or a, quote, disability that paralyzes everyone from the truth. One husband confided over a cup of coffee, that his wife was one of these medical exceptions, quote, special cases. Her doctor said she was allergic to the carpet in the house. So out went the old carpet and in came the new non-allergenic brand. Then the insulation in the walls turned out to be the next culprit, causing all the breathing discomfort and disorder. As the husband poured out his frustration, smoldering resentment surfaced as the story unfolded. Here sat a man who was angry, resentful, and hostile towards his wife and her doctor, with no clue as to what to do next. I suggested, and remember, this is Darren speaking, I suggested he confront the situation in his home with the power of God's word. Oh, I've tried to reason with my wife, and she goes into a withdrawal, saying her allergies will flare if I don't stop pressuring her and back off. Now, reason will not get the thing done. Reason will not bring it to a good result, friends. Reason will never do it. And then he went on to say, she demands I support her in her battle with the things that control her life, the allergies, the shortness of breath, her special sickness. After all, she says, my doctor said it and I can't help it. I'm a victim. My allergy is real and it's a fact of life. Ugh. The husband made good money, but even then, the strain of changing the carpet, replacing the insulation in the walls and ceiling were very expensive, and the draperies had to be changed too at even more expense. All the fabric furniture was removed and replaced. Can you imagine the expense? Allergies had also limited any intimacy and romance in the marriage. Any passion might cause her to stop breathing. Oh, and this is the husband quoting, any passion might cause her to stop breathing. I love my wife, but we are just existing. This is not a marriage in any sense of the word, he continued. I can't reason with her. I've tried confronting her, and she immediately has a panic attack and can't breathe. I don't know what I do. I don't know what I do. Oh, wow. So now I see at least two bullies in their house. The wife's allergies accompanied by fear, anger, manipulation, along with the husband's anger, rage, and resentment towards his wife and her doctor. It is an apparent hopeless situation right before my eyes. The bully in this house is having its own way. The whole family is made to respect this monster and make room for it, always working around its demands. So the two bullies are at war in this household, and the children are involved. In the midst of this war, both sides are feeling and experiencing the effects of the confrontation at all levels, spiritually, mentally, and physically, with no peace, no positive change in sight, with words that have been spoken to her by her doctor. What had started as just a simple breathing disorder has escalated to a full-blown illness. Here's a song by Brandon Lake. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Never enough, friend. Here he is, Graves into Gardens.
I searched the world, fade, never enough.
Praise the Lord. There's nothing better than you, Father. There's nothing better than you. And I will shout it from the housetops. There's nothing better than you. Oh, praise God. He is the answer, folks. And we've got to give him more praise, more glory, more honor in these last days and not give the credit to these worldly places. I know they help, but God has to receive all the glory. Praise the Lord. So here, Darren is saying this is a real life story and it evokes many questions. Could the husband have used the word of God to battle and conquer the allergies before this bully took control? Well, if he knew the word, but most people who call themselves, quote, Christians, do not have any idea of the word. I was praying for a lady at the meeting Saturday who had headaches, and I said, do you know a scripture? No. You don't know any scripture like 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world? Or God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You don't know any scriptures? And I said, I'm going to give you a power pack. And so I gave her a spiral bound power pack. You got to start learning the word of God. Does the Bible have an answer for this kind of dilemma? Of course. Where did these allergies come from in the first place? Are allergies the real problem or is there something else? Could it be a symptom and the real culprit, a root cause, be hidden from view? Do we have the correct diagnoses here? As Christians, we claim to be, do we have to live this way, or one could say exist, when we know that all things are possible to those who believe? And with man, it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Well, I am going to read you the rest of this story tomorrow. And I know you can listen up and you can wait for the newsletter to get to your house. If you'd like a newsletter, call me at the end of this show, which is the end, at 1-877-917-7256. I will be happy to send you an express newsletter. And so many people are happy with getting this every month. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.